In case you have a chumash, feel free to turn to Perek Chaf Dalet in this week's parsha, Chukas Balak, specifically Balak. So maybe we spend a few minutes on an Or HaChaim, a comment of the Or HaChaim, who lived in the 1700s, and the great Gedolei Sfarad of that era. A comment of the Or HaChaim that I believe we discussed in Chodesh Iyar. And the Or HaChaim is on this week's parasha, the Or HaChaim on Balak. And it's on so many levels, kedai to see this within. Parashas Balak is so incredibly rich. I mentioned to you yesterday, we were discussing Parashas Chukas, the irony. Ramban discusses different approaches to it at the beginning of the parasha. You know, Kalal Yisrael has, along the eastern bank of the Yarden. So Kalal Yisrael were coming up from the south, so they, so to speak, knocked on Edom's door, and they reached out diplomatically, and Edom rebuffed, can we cut through to get to the Yarden, cross into Eretz Yisrael. Edom rebuffs them very belligerently. We come out with an army, so the Jewish people say, okay, we're not fine with Edom, is not part of the plan, so we continue going northward. They skip Moab, and they go further north and engage militarily with miraculous success against the Canaanite kings, Sichon and Og, who control the northern part of what we would call nowadays Jordan and the Golan Heights. So Klal Yisrael has already come to Edom, Moab's southern neighbor, and they attacked and routed Sichon and Og, Moab's northern neighbor. So now the parsha opens with this irony. You know, Balak, the king of Moab, is frightened that we're next. We're in the Jewish people's crosshairs. They're going to eat us for lunch. You want to know where that expression comes from? It's the opening of Parshas Balak. They're going to eat us like a cow eats, like an ox munches on grass. They're going to eat us for lunch. Now the truth is, Rabban has some discussion about this. Now, the irony is, al pipshuto, there was nothing for him to be worried about at all, because they had already been told by Ribbono Shlom, you're not allowed to start up with Moab. Balak perhaps didn't know that, Rabban discusses. In his mind, he's already conjuring up, we're in such trouble, and a military response is clearly not going to work, because look at how the Jews miraculously won against Sichon and Og. We can't mount nearly as strong a military response as Sichon and Og did. Nothing, even Sichon and Og went down. There's nothing to talk about. So that's why he starts to strategize. What else can I do? Let me bring in Bilam to curse the Jews. Ultimately, at the end of the parasha, the Jews are taken down in part by falling prey to the Yetzirah for his nus, for inappropriate intimacy with the Moavios. But the irony, of course, of all of it is Balak could have just done nothing. He was in no danger. But he imagined that he was in danger and was trying to fight against the imaginary danger of a Jewish invasion. Even though the Jews had no plans, had no license to attack Moab. And then over the course, there's so many layers of irony. In terms of what, and it goes back, Moshe, really, to the question you were asking before, in terms of, you know, our perceptions and our plans vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans, vis-a-vis reality. You know, it continues, that sort of irony continues. Last night I had a chance to learn with a chevra from the shul. Ramban discusses in Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the episode of the talking donkey. A very, very, very intriguing Ramban, not for now. We could take a peek. Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel. And he discusses exactly what was going on with what did the donkey see? Did it see the Malach? Did it not see the Malach? Were there two miracles that it both saw the Malach and was able to speak? And then at the end, sort of the climax of Ramban, he talks about the meaningfulness of this Nais. It seems like it's a very central Nais. The meaningfulness of the Nais of the donkey speaking, Donkey see, donkey say. The meaningfulness of the second nace, or the nace of donkey say, the speech of the donkey, is it was meant to be a metaphor for Bilam to learn from. Now, you think you trust in the power of your speech. You think you can just go and curse Klal Yisrael in the way the Chazal described. Bilam, he's going to force God. I'm going to catch God at the moment that the curse will go in. And then Bilam thinks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to honor Bilam's curse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to him, ultimately, I run the show. I give people a lot of b'chir chafshes. But I can make a donkey talk. That also means I can remove the power of speech from a person, or limit or channel the power of speech of a person. And as Bilam comes to see that he's intending to say klalos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces him instead to say brachas. There's a sort of irony that's involved in a person recognizing his place. Ramban there also seems to indicate the second layer of the messaging is the spirit of the law, addition to the letter of the law. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell Bilam directly, you can't go. As a matter of fact, when he says to Malach, should I go back? Malach says, I'm not telling you no. But the point is, Bilam should have understood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You're seeking to do the right thing. You should be seeking to embrace the spirit of the law and not just stick to the letter of the law. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a hint, a metaphorical image, to give him a sense of what ought to be, but Bilam doesn't step up to the plate. He chooses, you know, a pretense of literalness. And so Bilam does indeed go ahead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop him from negotiating with the Balak and speaking at the Jewish people, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does channel and control what it is that Bilam gets to say, as we know. And so, one bracha, one set of brachas after another, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, and so on and so forth. Right there, there are three major speeches of Bilam, brachos of Bilam to Klal Yisrael. And the first one begins Perek Chav Gimel, excuse me, over the course of Perek Chav Gimel. The first one is Min Aramya and Cheni, Pasuk Zion. And then Balak says, let's go to a different location. Beginning Pasuk Yud Ches, Kum Balak Ushema. And then in Perek Havdal, the third one is Matovo Lecha Yaakov. At that point, you know, Balak says, and you're fired. Three strikes and you're out. You tried three times. I hired you to curse Klal Yisrael, and I told you I would pay you richly. You do the opposite of what I asked you to do, so you're not getting paid anything. And at that point, Bilam turns around and says, you can't fire me, and I'm not quitting yet. I have something to say first. He says, let me tell you, and this Shvi'i of Balak, the Bilam's fourth nevuah, is let me tell you what's going to happen ba'acharis hayamim. I want to take a look at, well, what's going to happen limos ha-mashiach, the end of days. He speaks about Klal Yisrael and many other nations. I want to take a look together for a couple of minutes. He opens Pasuk Yud Zayin, Erenu v'lo ata ashu renu v'lo karov. I see it, but it's not right now. I see it, but it's not nearby. In the distance, time-wise remote, geographically in terms of place, remote, far away. The Gula is not coming immediately. Darach koch of Yaakov v'kam shevet mi Yisrael. There's a star shooting out of Yaakov, and there's a staff rising from Yisrael. The opening lines of Bilam's nevuah about Acharis Hayam. So take a look, please, at the Arachayim in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Erenu v'lo ata. Kefalam dvarim b'milim shonos, Arachayim says. You know, we're repeating the same thing in different words. Darach koch v'yakov, kam shev v'yisrael, erenu v'lata, shalorim v'lo karv. There's a lot of them. That's a common device in poetry, and particularly in biblical poetry, in the Shira of Tanakh. But at the same time, that's a common device, a literary device. If it appears in Tanakh, there's profound meaning to each iteration. So if it's said twice, each one means something. What does it mean? It looks like it's just the same thing said twice. The gam kefas nema that erenu v'lata asheren v'lo karav. I see it, but it's far away. I see it, but it's distant in time. What does that mean? The gam kafa lomar darcho chav miyakov v'kam shev miyisrael. And later on, also mochatz v'kakar. There's a lot of pairs of phrases here. It seems very repetitive. So what does it mean? Rav Chaim says, we have to know, number one, the kol ha-nevuah b'melech ha-mashiach nemra. As we mentioned before, this nevuah of acharis hayamim, this is a description of bias ha-mashiach. V'yiz ba'er, api divrehem zal, says, we'll begin to make sense of this line in nevuas bilam. We look at a gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Ches. About Paskin Yishayahu. Let's take a look at that Gemara inside. Amar v'alchsandri. Here the Bava Tzadi Chesim and Alf. In the very wide lines. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Rami. V'alchsandri quoted a he'ara from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Yehoshua ben Levi raised the following stira. You have that same line, two lines in a row. So the first one. Amar v'alchsandri v'alchsandri v'yehoshua ben Levi Rami. K'siv. Beita uchsiv achishena. It says on time, and it says I will rush. Where is that from? If you look on the side, this is the Yeshayo Perek Samach. This is the end of one of the nevuos of the Shevne Nechemta. I believe it's Parshas Kisavo. Hakaton yele'el fatzir l'gayatzum. The small one will grow. Kosol will grow. Ani Hashem beita achishena. I am God. I will rush it on time. So what does that mean? I'll rush it on time. Either you're ahead of time or you're not ahead of time. As I mentioned to you fellas, I heard at a Yekesh Bris a couple of weeks ago, they quoted from Rav Breuer, I believe it was, that free is auch nicht pünktlich. Early is also not on time. So what do you mean? Is it on time? Beita or is it achishana? Is it being ahead of schedule? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi raised this stira in a single pasuk. It's one word to the next. Zachu achishena lo zachu beita. The answer is, depends if we're zocher or not. If we're zocher, if Klal Yisrael is zocher, then Mashiach will come, be rushed. If not, beita, the Mashiach will come on time. So Aruch Chaim says, that's what this pasuk in Balak in this week's parsha is referring to. Zachu achishena. Had we been zocha, look, Mashiach could have come in the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara indicates some sachem, but lo zachu beita. If we're not going to be zocha, it'll be at the originally planned time. But who rachok muflag? That's very, very far off. Does Elacha says, our Chaim says, I'll prove to you that beita is very far off from when Bilam was speaking. Look, we're at the beginning of the 6th century of the 6th millennium. In other words, he's saying we live the year on the Christian calendar 1740 is on the Hebrew calendar 5500. So at the beginning of the 6th century, that means in the late, that's when the Aruch Chaim lives, you know, mid to late 1700s. And that's thousands of years after Bilam. And Mashiach hasn't come yet. And we could say, you know, it's been another couple of centuries since the Aruch Chaim. So clearly, the ace, whatever that ace is, whatever that Kates is, it hasn't arrived yet. Because here we are, pre-Mashiach. So clearly, the Kates was very, very far off from Bilam's perspective. Who connected Beis Kates and Melu Dibra Kasav. And that's what the pasuk is referring to. These two times, im zachu amar erenu. He says, if we're zocher, that's why he says erenu. I see it. Pirish l'davar shani asid lomar. I'm like, eno at b'zman zel b'zman acher. V'yachol liyo sheni rachol kol kach. Says erenu v'lo at. I see it, but not right now. That means Okay, not this moment, but it could be soon. Im Hayu Yisrael Chozrim, quotes the Medrash Rabbah, B'tshuva Kimitzray Hayinu Galam Miyad. Afilo Yavar Lehem El Yom Echad Begalos. If we would earn our Geula, it could come very quickly. It could be a day of Galus. Yan Hashem B'yom Tzara. It could be a single day of Tzara. We're Yotzei having Galus. We earn our Geula. Done. So that's our end of Lo'ata. I see it. Not right now. There'll have to be a little bit of Galus, but, you know, Mashiach could come pretty quickly. Can get Kates Be'ita, but in terms of the Be'ita, if we wait for the Kates, that's Ashurenu. Lashur is to see from a distance. That's not only not now, that's just not lo'ata, not even karov. That's remote. Tekeit shel be'ita aruch ad lema'od ba'avonos. And that's what we indeed have experienced. We've been in Gullus for many, many centuries. And then he says, it's not only, so the first pair of phrases is about timing, when Gula will happen. The second pair, now, of course, the flip side, it should be noted, is that the Kates was very, very, very distant from Bilam's perspective, millennia away. Obviously, at our point in Jewish history, even the Kates is not nearly as far as it was for Bilam. And then he says the second pair of phrases is about not the question of when, but how. And I think we touched upon this in our Shiurim leading up to Yom Ha'atzmaut. I think I might have mentioned this in Aruch Chaim. Now we get to see it inside. Let's spend another couple of minutes and let's see a key piece. Chayfel ha'inyan v'shinir ha'lashon yizba'er api divrehem zal. He says, as you move on to the next set of phrases, the darach kochav miyakov v'kam shevet miyisrael, for that you have to look at the next line in Sanhedrin. Sha'amru, the Gemara there says, Imtiya Geula be'emtzaus zechus Yisrael, if Zachu, if the Geula comes in part because we earned it, we were Taka Zocha, we lived in a way, as that Dvarim Rabbah he just quoted said, Im Hayu Yisrael Chozrim b'tshuva kimitztarech, we did proper tshuva, then Yehadava, and there's not only a question of when Mashiach comes, but how he arrives. Yehadava mufla b'mayla, that if we will be Zocha to our Geula, then the process of him coming would be immensely miraculous. Mufla b'mayla v'yizgaleh ha'goel Yisrael min ha'shamayim b'mofez v'os. And the very arid, from the outset, the revelation of who Mashiach is would be entirely miraculous. Kamar b'sefer ha'zohar. It's apparently in the Zohar at length, but already, as the Or HaChaim indicated, alluded to in the Gemara. Take a look again at the next line in that Gemara, Tzadi Ches, Amar Alf, Zahedra, near the bottom. The second Amar Rabbi Al-Khazandri, once again, Al-Khazandri quoted that Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Yeshua ben Levi asked another stira. Ksiv, here at the 21, V'aro imanane shemayah kevar inish asa. That's the pasuk in Daniel. Tell you on the side, Daniel Perek Zayin, part of the Aramaic portion of Sefer Daniel. Sefer Daniel and Sefer Ezra Nehemiah both have this significant chunks that are written in Aramaic instead of in Hebrew. V'aro min shamaya, suddenly, v'hine, out of the sky, out of the clouds in the sky, kevar inish asa, a human figure comes closer. So that's one description of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Levi understood a description of Bias HaMashiach. On the other hand, Uksiv, a pasuk in Zechariah Perek Tes, Ani Baruch HaLechamar, a poor man riding on a donkey. You see on the side, they quote more of the pasuk. Hinei Malkech Yavolach, Tzadik V'Noshahu, your king is coming. The Navi says to Kalal Yisrael, to Yushalayim, speaking poetically, your king is coming. Ani v'roch alachamar, a poor man riding a donkey. So Rabbi Shimon Levi said, which one is it? Is his coming miraculous, or is it ani v'roch alachamar, a poor man riding a donkey, nothing dramatic? And he once again, Rabbi Shimon Levi offered the same solution. Zachu imanani shemaya, lo zachu ani v'roch alachamar. Depends. If we're zocha, So then it'll be the way Daniel describes. If we're not Zoch, it'll be the way Zechariah describes. So let's see how the Or HaChaim develops this. As he said, the Zohar says at greater length that if we'll be Zoche, so then the way Daniel describes, you know, Varo min anane shemaya, it'll be the Bias HaMashiach will be entirely a miraculous process. Masha ein kin kishetia gula mitzara keitz. If it's lo zachu, what does lo zachu mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides at a certain point that Bias HaMashiach has to happen whether we deserve it or not. So if we earn it, then Bias Mashiach comes as soon as we earn it. If we don't earn it, so then at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this stage of Olam Hazeh, the pre-Mashiach stage of Olam Hazeh, has a finite bound. It's going to end even if we haven't deserved it. That's the case, where Mashiach will come even if lo zachinu. If it's just mitzara keitz ve'en yisrael ru'im la, we don't deserve Bias Mashiach, then tiyah ba'ofen acher. Come in a different way. Here we go. Zechariah Perek Tes. Ha'goel yavo ani v'rochev al ha'chamar. And he says that corresponds to the question of time. Hu ma'asha amar kan. Kenge gulas achishena, the gula of achishena, the gula where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rushes it, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings gula as soon as we're zoche, zachu, which is bem tzalas, zechus Yisrael. That means that our zechus is driving Bias HaMashiach, which was Ramah ben Mamar Aranvel Atta, that was the first phrase in terms of when. So that's to that Aranvel Atta is a question of when, soon, im Zachu, and Darach Koch of Miyakov. She Yizrach, a star, a shooting star. She Yizrach Hagol Mashamayim, a gleam from the skies. And he says that's a quote from the Zohar as well. That the kochav is a metaphorical way of describing that there'll be nes mufla, all nisim guluyim. Ukeneged geulas beita shiramas b'mamar shem lo karov. But the but plan B, option B, where we're not zoche, but Mashiach comes despite our never having earned, deserved Bias HaMashiach. That's asherem v'lo karov. It'll happen eventually, but in the remote future. From Bilam's perspective, again, from our perspective, no longer the remote future. But Be'ita, lo zachu, so the when is Be'ita, and the how, the question of quality, the quality of the process of Bias HaMashiach, kam shevet miYisrael. What does kam shevet miYisrael indicate? A staff is rising from Yisrael. Perush, she yakum shevet echad miYisrael. A shevet will rise. In the normal way that people rise. In other words, normal political development. The process of Bias HaMashiach will be driven by typical, not something entirely miraculous from the outset, but the beginning of the process will be normal, typical political evolution. Al Derech Aru, Shval Anashim Yakim Allah. It'll be a won't be the most dramatic, most razzle-dazzle person. In other words, what the Arachaim is saying is that the way to read that Gemara in Sanhedrin is that there are two possible ways that Bias HaMashiach could play out. Depends on whether we earn Bias HaMashiach or Bias HaMashiach happens despite us. If we earn Bias HaMashiach, so as Rishu ben Levi said, that drives both the when and the how. The when is immediate, as soon as we're Zoche. That could have been centuries and centuries, could have been millennia ago. Or maybe today or tomorrow, whenever we're Zoche. And the how, entirely miraculous. The Aroman Shemaya, Darach Koch of Miyakov, totally miraculous. Whereas the other option, option B, is lo zachu. Is Klal Yisrael never end up sufficiently earning Bias HaMashiach. But Mashiach will come regardless. There's a reason why that's Ani Mama number 12. Mashiach will come. Whether we deserve it or not, he will come. Apapishis Mameim is a Kozeh Hakalo. We're not sure when he's coming. We hope that we know he will come, and we hope he will come soon. But when he comes, if lo zachu, it'll be at the last moment, the point by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already decided that the Olam HaZeh, as is, pre-Mashiach Olam HaZeh needs to end, and the process of his arrival, the quality of the process leading up to Bias HaMashiach will be a more natural process. Come Shevet Yisrael. Shevet is a reference to a staff. It's a symbol of government. The star glowing in the sky, that's a symbol of miracles. And the rising staff, that's a symbol of political evolution, of government. So you look around, and let's be clear, as was the case with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the final destination either way is the same. The final destination Rambam describes, a flesh and blood descendant of David and Shlomo, is king in Eretz Yisrael, king of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, rebuilds Beis HaMikdash, brings Klal Yisrael back, and so on and so forth. The ultimate destination, the final picture of Bias HaMashiach is the same regardless of how we get there. But there are two ways to get there. One is quick and miraculous. The other one is long, circuitous, and the initial steps in the process are natural. That's like Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Either way, we got to Eretz Yisrael, but it could have gone to Eretz Yisrael with great rapidity. It could have been a matter of weeks from leaving Har Sinai until arriving at Eretz Yisrael. Instead, it was a matter of four decades. But the ultimate destination was the same. But what the route would look like, how long it would be, and what it would be like, those varied. So that's what that's the way the Aruch Chaim is understanding the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadiches, Amud Aleph, is the same true in terms of Bias HaMashiach. The ultimate destination is a flesh and blood descendant of Shlomo, David and Shlomo, who's king of Klal Yisrael, who builds the Beis HaMikdash the way the Rambam describes in the last two prakim of Mishneh Torah, the last two prakim of Hilchus Melachim. But the process to get there varies. So we look around at events of the last century plus, and we say, apparently, lo zachinu. We are seen. The Aruch Chaim passed away in the early 1800s, before the rise of political Zionism, before the rise of, in 19th century European nationalism in general. He was looking at the Psukim. He was looking at Chazal, and he accurately predicted what would come to pass over the last century and a half or so. A political process, a quote-unquote natural, b'derech hateva. Nature is also driven by, it comes back to where we started earlier today. Nature is also driven by Ribbono Shel Olam. But the process, the quality of the process was b'derech hateva. That Nisim, with Nisim in the storm, rather than with Nisim gluyim, one thing leads to another thing, and there's no ideas of nationalism, and there's a rise of the ground is ripe for political Zionism and for a growing Aliyah, and ultimately, and there's a war, and there's international gatherings of various sorts, the League of Nations, the UN, so on and so forth, and there comes to pass a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael, and that's a step. That's aschalta de gula. That's the critical steps, and it provide the Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael provides for an enormous amount of kibbutz galus. Millions of Jews have come back to Eretz Yisrael as a direct result of Hakamas HaMedina. That's exactly what Aruch Chaim is describing, and it is a little bittersweet because on one hand we're seeing lo zachinu, we're watching. Come Shevet Yisrael. We were not Zocha. It's not a Roman Shammai. It's Anivir Ocha Lachamar. At the same time, we're mamash watching Geula unfolding before our eyes. We're not exactly sure how we're going to get from point A to point B, how we're getting from here to the final stage of Mashiach ben David, of an actual Melech HaMashiach, a descendant of David and Shlomo, who's going to rebuild Beis HaMikdash and so forth. But we've been seeing step after step after step of this unfolding, the unfurling of the process of Ani Verochev Lachamar. Shetaka Bizocha. Come Shevet Yisrael. Shetaka Bizocha to see, to earn and to deserve the hastening of Bias HaMashiach. Shkoyach Chevra.